Welcome to MS Minute with DC&D, your podcast for understanding multiple sclerosis. Every month, our MS experts tackle a different topic to help you manage your disease and live a better life. DC&D is a private neurology practice based out of Dayton, Ohio. It's certified by the National MS Society as a comprehensive MS care center. Please note this podcast and its content is designed for educational and informational purposes only.
Welcome to MS Minute with DC&D. I'm your host, Natalie Pugar. Joining me today is MS specialist, Dr. Derek Mankadic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Natalie. Nice to speak with you again. Nice to be on the program again.
Yeah. So we're talking about some kind of intermittent symptoms today, something that I think a very important topic to be discussed for a lot of patients. So we've talked about this several times on the show before. MS can present very differently from patient to patient. So if you could kind of walk us through what these, you know, intermittent or unique symptoms are, I would say, what's the right word for that?
Yeah, so in the neurological world, we call these paroxysmal symptom. And as defined by Merriam-Webster, a paroxysm is a fit, an attack, or a sudden increase or recurrence of symptoms, as in a disease. And so for people with multiple sclerosis, they can certainly get paroxysmal symptoms. So when we think about that definition a little bit, these are symptoms that are sudden. They come on all of a sudden, but they don't last very long. They're very brief when they come on, and then they go away almost as quickly as they come on. So paroxysmal symptoms are not specific only to MS. You can see them in other neurological conditions. And so they can be somewhat challenging to recognize or confusing to talk about with your healthcare providers. So definitely just describing the symptoms when you're talking about them, and then, you know, allowing your healthcare provider to ask follow-up questions or sometimes do additional testing to figure out maybe if this is something that's happening to you or not. So it's definitely something that you just need to discuss with your healthcare provider if you think you're having any of these types of problems. But it can be challenging to identify and sometimes to diagnose. But we'll talk about them a little bit more today so we can gain a greater understanding and awareness of these symptoms. And maybe this is something that you can, this podcast is something you can use to then bridge that discussion with your healthcare provider.
Absolutely. I mean, some of those, like we're going to talk about today, are kind of random too. So you wouldn't necessarily think like, oh, maybe I should bring this up to my provider. Maybe this is, maybe I'm, you know, it's just in my head. This is the kind of thing that we're talking about today. And that first one is called like the MS hug that a lot of patients have described. Can you, I mean, it sounds like a good thing, but in theory, it's definitely not a hug in a sense.
No, not a hug you want typically. So let's just talk a little bit about what that MS hug is. It's kind of this feeling as if someone was putting pressure typically around your chest or perhaps your abdomen. And so it's typically uncomfortable, sometimes painful. And it's, again, a challenging symptom for people to describe and sometimes to recognize because it can feel different for different people. Some people say it feels like a blood pressure cuff being squeezed around them. Other people feel like it's a girdle or a band around them. But it's typically a pressure-like sensation, and it tends to wrap around the body. Usually it's on both sides, but it can be on just one side of the body. And sometimes people can also describe it as a crushing or a dull or sharp or stabbing pain. And it's, like I said, typically uncomfortable.
I mean, so sounds horrible.
Yeah, it could be. And we call this a symptom called a dysesthesia. And that means an unpleasant sensation in medical terms.
So when you're talking, you said a lot of these are brief like that. So would this be, you know, are your patients describing this kind of as something that just happens for like a minute and then goes away and then it doesn't come back for a while? So describe like what brief means and how often, you know, somebody would feel this.
Sure. So this is where it's a little bit variable from person to person and patient to patient. So sometimes it's just a minute or two at a time. And other times it can last a much longer amount of time and then not go away. So there are some subsets of patients who have it constantly, but thankfully those people are less likely to have it. And so you can definitely experience it from certain triggers. You know, people will say that if they get too tired or they overexert themselves, that could trigger off an MS hug. For other people, it may be heat. If they're in a warm environment, that could trigger it off. Certain medications and many different things could potentially trigger off a symptom such as the MS hug. So in trying to understand the symptom, usually people start to identify certain triggers. And that's one way that people can sometimes prevent the onset of the symptoms is by avoiding those triggers.
Yes, that's very true. So I guess the big question is what causes this? So not every patient who has MS gets this, right?
Mm-hmm. So not everybody does get it, thankfully. but usually we think it's from nerve root irritation. And what we think happens is from an MS lesion, either in the cervical or thoracic spinal cord, that area of damage within the spinal cord can cause irritation. And when that irritation occurs, then you can get the symptoms of MS hug. And the other kind of theory with this is perhaps it's triggered by muscle spasm in what's called the intercostal muscles. And the intercostal muscles are the muscles in between your ribs. So if those muscles spasm, it could produce a similar sensation. And usually muscle spasms, you know, like a Charlie horse, are painful. So that's the other kind of thought behind that. But most people, myself included, kind of favor the nerve root irritation as the most likely cause for this symptom.
It's amazing how much the nerves can impact our body.
Definitely.
So we talked about how this is kind of a brief thing for some people, but some people it's not. So is there anything that can be done to help, you know, those patients who do describe this?
Mm-hmm. So there are certainly things that we can try. We talked about identifying and avoiding triggers. So, you know, again, avoiding heat, maybe certain movements could trigger it off, certain clothing, tight or loose clothing. But other treatment modalities and options are definitely there. One thing that could be always helpful is meditation and mindfulness. Understanding the pain, understanding the triggers can help you deal with that sensation. But other things such as stretching, applying heat or cold, TENS units, physical therapy, and then finally medications can be tried for this as well.
Gotcha. Are there side effects with those medications? Is that kind of something that you'd like to kind of leave as the last resort before trying some of these trigger, you know, avoiding the triggers and things like that first?
Yeah, all medications have side effects. So that's something we always have to consider whenever we prescribe a medication, including interactions with other medications. So something that, you know, doctors need to be aware of. But I think as far as using a medication or not, it's very situational. Some patients, you know, need a medication sooner, and some people want to try more conservative measures first. So I definitely take it on a case-by-case basis, and that's just where that open-ended discussion with your provider really comes in as a patient.
Is the medication, does sometimes it not work?
Definitely. We can't always predict if a medication is going to be even partially effective. So sometimes it's a trial and error process. So that's something to keep in mind. But again, just having that discussion, I think, is really important.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we talked about the MS hug and it kind of that tight feeling around your chest, it feels like maybe some asthmatic kind of allergy kind of symptom, but is it dangerous? I mean, you would think if something's kind of in constricting your, you know, your breathing or whatever, it would be dangerous. Is it?
So great question, Natalie. It's not typically dangerous. It's not going to impair your ability to breathe, although it's certainly uncomfortable. It's also not usually a sign of a new MS exacerbation or lesion, especially if you've experienced it in the past. So that's something to keep in mind, but even though it's rather uncomfortable, it's not dangerous.
Gotcha. So when you have patients that present with this, I guess that Is there a certain time frame that they're getting this, you know, once a year? Is it more frequent than that? Or is that entirely dependent on the patient?
Yeah, so that goes back to that paroxysmal definition where it can suddenly come on and suddenly go away. And so it's difficult to predict the frequency of a patient's symptoms. And a lot of times it's just one of those things that we have to kind of tackle it as it comes on.
Okay. So there's another type of kind of, I guess, sporadic symptom too that a lot of MS patients describe, and it's kind of this electric shock type condition. So please explain this because it sounds horrifying.
Mm-hmm. So what Natalie's referring to is this electric shooting sensation that can occur down the neck or the back, and that occurs when you flex your neck forward, and we call that Lhermitte sign. Lhermitte is named after, the sign is named after a particular neurologist. His name was Jacques-Jean Lhermitte, and he was a French neurologist. And he practiced in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and he's considered the father of modern clinical neurology, actually. So he has this sign named after him. And he was one of the first people to recognize that this sign can be due to multiple sclerosis. So that's why it's called Lhermitte sign. And we think that this condition is due to, again, that kind of pulling or that nerve root irritation when the neck is flexed. And that causes a depolarization or activation of the nerves. When that happens, it's experienced as pain, unfortunately, in this type of situation typically. So for a person with MS, and this is not a symptom specific only to people with MS, but it can be commonly seen here. We think that the damage to the cervical spinal cord from the multiple sclerosis is what ultimately causes the symptoms here.
Gotcha. Okay. So again, kind of the same with the MS hug. Is it also intermittent, just kind of like we talked about, and something very sporadic? And how long does it usually last for patients? Is it something that kind of goes away again?
Yes. In contrast to the MS hug, which can last for a longer period of time, Lhermitte sign does tend to be brief, only lasting a few seconds, which is a little bit better, at least in this type of situation. But even though it's only a few seconds, it still can be very painful and uncomfortable when it occurs.
Absolutely. So is there a certain type of MS patient that's more likely to get this? Or is it kind of, luck is the draw?
Again, luck is the draw a little bit. You do tend to see it more in people who have cervical spine lesions. So not everybody has those in multiple sclerosis. Everybody is different, of course. But somewhere between 30 and 40% of MS patients end up experiencing this sign as part of their disease process. So it's not a small number, unfortunately.
No, it's not. Yeah. So what would be the treatment for this?
Mm-hmm. Avoidance of triggers is really important. People can certainly start to identify how far they can move their neck before triggering off one of these sensations. So that's probably the first thing that we always talk about. But non-pharmacological therapy, which is things like the mindfulness, the meditation that we talked about, using a particular type of therapy called cognitive behavioral therapy, can be really helpful, as well as physical therapy for neck strengthening and stretching, or even considering something like acupuncture. Could be all modalities of treatment. You can use medicines, again, but this is a condition that I tend to try to not use as many medications for with Lhermitte sign. Because again, if you can avoid the flexion and avoid the symptom itself, then perhaps you can avoid another medication that you have to take.
Absolutely. So I guess since nerve pain and not technically muscle, like manipulation wouldn't work on this particular issue, would it?
I think you could consider that, definitely. I wouldn't think that it's the first line treatment for something like this, but perhaps that manipulation, if you can get your neck into a more normal position, then that might be something that could really help.
Okay. So I guess the other question with that, is it dangerous, just like the MS hug, Does it cause, is it causing any electric shocks, or is it just the way it's feeling?
It's just, it is the way that the nerves are sending signals. So it's not necessarily dangerous to your health, but again, can be painful.
So that's also something very important to bring up to your provider, you know, so if you have these kind of random symptoms, anything random that you should be bringing up, because this is what it could be. Mm-hmm. And it could be, yeah, be caused by, you know, the MS, and we could avoid the triggers to help you.
Yep, and we'll understand more about the disease.
Absolutely. Yes. So the third one that we wanted to talk about is facial pain. And I hear about this one quite frequently when talking with MS patients. Mm-hmm.
So this condition is called trigeminal neuralgia. And what happens with trigeminal neuralgia is again, a brief intermittent pain that's often lancinating. So it feels very sharp, or it could be electric. And it tends to shoot down into the face. It tends to be just one-sided. But when it occurs, it's quite painful and can be fairly severe for some patients. So this is definitely a symptom that if you're experiencing it, I'd recommend bringing it up to your doctor.
So when you just mentioned like that one-sided stuff, is this at all ever confused with stroke?
It could be, although typically with this type of condition, it's more painful, whereas a stroke typically causes facial weakness. So that would be the big distinction between the two symptoms. Of course, stroke is a completely different topic, but if you're ever having one-sided weakness or one-sided numbness, and it comes on very quickly and it's not going away, you definitely should get to the emergency room to be evaluated for a stroke. Thankfully, this is a little bit different, where it's a painful type of sensation. And it does tend to happen more in the cheek or the jaw area than the forehead. But it could occur on all three places or just one area of the face.
And again, are we talking nerves here?
Yes. So trigeminal neuralgia means pain of the trigeminal nerve. And let's talk a little bit about the trigeminal nerve. So we have 12 different cranial nerves in our head and in our neck area, and they come out in different areas and do different things. The fifth nerve is the trigeminal nerve. You have a right one and a left one. And so in trigeminal neuralgia, we think that that nerve gets irritated for some reason. For people with multiple sclerosis, they typically have a plaque, a lesion in the area of the trigeminal nerve nucleus, which is in the brainstem itself. So in people who have a brainstem lesion, that can irritate the trigeminal nerve and then cause the symptoms. So that's in a person with multiple sclerosis, but this condition is not specific only to people with multiple sclerosis. There are certainly other causes of trigeminal neuralgia, which just describes the symptoms. That's that electric shooting, lancinating pain that you get on one side of the face.
Okay. So are there also the same kind of triggers then, because it's all nerve related, the heat, the cold, that kind of thing?
It can be, but there are also other triggers for trigeminal neuralgia. Sometimes people will be triggered by wind, cold or warm wind moving across their face. Some triggers include brushing your teeth or using mouthwash. That can definitely trigger off trigeminal neuralgia pain. Sometimes even just touching the area can trigger off trigeminal neuralgia attacks. So a lot of times people can learn to avoid some of the triggers, but other things, you know, like brushing your teeth aren't necessarily avoidable over time. So that's where talking to your doctor about potential treatments can be important.
How long does this kind of, I guess, symptom last? Is it also, you know, fleeting, or is it one that sticks around a little longer?
So it can be variable. Some people have it just very quickly and then it goes away. A lot of times people will have repeated attacks, so they'll feel a stabbing pain. It'll resolve for a short amount of time, like seconds, and then they'll get another one that lasts a few seconds, and then that process kind of repeats where it's like bop, 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 and it'll just kind of attack that way. That could go on for a long amount of time, hours, but usually there's some resolution in between attacks.
How about treatment?
So there are options for treatment with this. I do typically recommend medications because of the severity of the pain and to try to prevent those attacks from coming on. So this is a condition where I would probably reach for a medicine sooner rather than later. Unfortunately, you know, there are medications that are show more evidence to help treat this type of condition. But again, I don't have a crystal ball where I can say for sure a patient's going to respond to a medication or not until we try medicine like this.
So is there anything else that could be done other than medication?
Yeah, in refractory cases, what we can do sometimes, and these are people who have tried multiple medications, and either because of medication side effects or it's just the medication's just not working, then in those refractory severe cases, we will consider different surgical options or other options for treatment. But thankfully, the majority of cases don't go on to need, the majority of people don't go on to need a surgery for this type of condition. Again, talk with your doctor, just have an open conversation, and I think that's the best thing that you can do for yourself.
Okay, is there any other kind of, you know, random intermittent symptoms that are really common with MS that we're missing?
So there are certainly lots of other paroxysmal symptoms. These are just a few of them today that we talked about, just because they tend to be a little bit more common. But other people with MS can get lots of other symptoms that come on briefly and randomly, you know, numbness, tingling types of sensations, muscle spasms or cramps. So these are all just things that I would encourage you to talk with your doctor if you think that it's related possibly to your multiple sclerosis, and just see where the conversation goes from there.
Right. And to not avoid, I guess, these symptoms too, to bring those up, even though because they're so random, you know, to make sure that you're mentioning those. What, I guess, would you parting words of wisdom for patients besides, you know, just talking to your doctor when they have some of these symptoms? I'm sure it's pretty frustrating to have like the MS hug and certain things like that. So what do you tell your patients?
Yeah, so I think the thing to take away from it is to remember that in the majority of these types of cases, it's not a sign of a new MS lesion or exacerbation, especially if you've experienced it before. And again, none of these signs and symptoms, while they can be painful and debilitating, are dangerous necessarily. And we have options for treatment for all of these conditions. So that's what I would encourage people to focus on. So even if you're experiencing that these types of symptoms, that there's things that we can do.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Dr. Magadek, for shining a light, I guess, on all of these kind of random and sporadic symptoms.
Thank you so much for having me again, Natalie. It was great to talk with you again.